living wisely in a foolish world. This morning we're going to talk about how to become wise. Let's all stand together again as we give honor to God's Word and the reading of His Word. Proverbs chapter 1, verses 1 through 7. The Bible says the Proverbs of Solomon, the son of David, king of Israel, to know wisdom and instruction, to discern the words of understanding, to receive instruction in wise dealings, in righteousness and justice and equity, to give prudence to the simple, to the young man knowledge and discretion, that the wise man may hear and increase in learning, and that the man of understanding may attain unto sound counsels, to understand a proverb and a figure, the words of the wise and their dark sayings. The fear of Jehovah is the beginning of knowledge, but the foolish despise wisdom and instruction. Please be seated. This morning, as we look at the Scripture, we're going to talk about where wisdom comes from and how you may become wise. Not a wise guy, but wise, okay? And I just lost my signal. And we're back again. We're continuing to study the most practical book in the Bible, the book of Proverbs. This book is a collection of God-given wisdom about money, marriage, work, anger, health, parenting, making friends, and planning success. As a matter of fact, again, as I say, if the Lord tarries, next week I'm going to talk about your mouth. How many of you have trouble with your mouth occasionally? Yeah? Well, we're going to talk about what God's Word says about your mouth. This book originates during a dream of Solomon, in which God says to Solomon, "Ask what I shall give thee." In response, what does Solomon request? Notice, "Give therefore thy servant an understanding heart to judge thy people, that I may discern between good and bad. For who is able to judge this thy so great a people?" Can't you just wish that our leaders today would say that same prayer to God? I certainly do. It's not a selfish request, because Solomon does not ask for money. He does not ask for power. He does not ask for fame. Therefore, God grants his request. And one of the results is the book of Proverbs. "Behold, I have done according to thy word. Lo, I have given thee a wise and understanding heart, so that there was none like thee before thee, neither after there shall any rise like unto thee," with one exception. Who was that? Jesus Christ. Solomon became the wisest man ever to live until the coming of Jesus, who makes this declaration in the book of Matthew. "The queen of the south shall rise up in judgment with this generation and shall condemn it, for she came from the uttermost part of the earth to hear the wisdom of Solomon. And behold, greater than Solomon is here." The book of Proverbs consists of 31 chapters, one for each day of the month. The word wisdom is found 54 times in the book of Proverbs. Proverbs is one of the five books that make up the wisdom or poetical literature section of the Old Testament. What are the rest? Job, Psalms, Proverbs, Ecclesiastes, and Song of Solomon. Becoming wise requires we understand three things. Very simple, right? Three things. First, we need to know the meaning of wisdom. Number two, we need to know the benefits of wisdom. And then number three, we need to know the acquisition of wisdom. The meaning of wisdom. I've often heard it said that soldiers in the military are some of the dumbest in the world. Okay? Now, nowadays, they have to have a high school education. Many of them even have college to get in. But I promise you, I dealt with some of the previous types. Okay? I told you last week about the guys who had a checkbook, and he said as long as there were checks within the checkbook, he thought he ought to have money in the account, right? Okay? I'm serious. He did think that. Well, also, I can remember there was a particular radio that we used, and it had a great big old flat battery. And you took off the bottom of the radio, Prick 77 it was called, PRC 77. And you take out the battery, and you just take the new one and put it back in. Okay? It came in a little cellophane bag. I don't know how many times I've come up on soldiers tearing apart that battery that comes in that cardboard box trying to get to the battery. because the cardboard box contained the battery. It was the battery. You didn't have to take it apart. All you had to do was take it out, turn it over because it had five little slots on the other side, and push it back up in and close the case. Okay? Also, they said that they put the instructions on how to get water out of the boot on the bottom. You know why? Right, as they turn the boot over to see how to get the water out, the water flies out. All right. The meaning of wisdom. Wisdom is not the same thing as knowledge. Okay? It is not the same thing as knowledge. I know people with a lot of knowledge, very well educated, even have PhDs, but are not wise at all. The Hebrew word translated wisdom means skilled, intelligent, or understanding how to use knowledge or information. There's a big difference between being educated and being wise. I can remember going to football practice when I was about a sophomore in high school, and this old man, this old gentleman used to come up and watch us play football. And this big old guy, big old guard on our football team, his name was Aubrey Cook. And Aubrey was every bit of 250 pounds, and he was probably 6'4". I mean, he was a big, big guy. And this old man came, he'd just sit there, and we'd get dressed, and he'd go out, and then he'd watch us play on the field. And one day, while Aubrey looked at him, and he said, "Old man, you never say anything." He says, "Has the cat got your tongue?" And Aubrey just kept picking on him. Finally, old man looked at Aubrey, and he said, "Young man," he says, "my father told me it was better to remain silent and be thought stupid than to open my mouth and remove all doubt." What's the difference between wisdom and knowledge? Well, Aubrey might have thought he had a lot of knowledge, but what didn't he have? He didn't have wisdom. Matter of fact, he didn't know how to treat an older person either, okay? We laughed Aubrey to death over that situation. There's a big difference between being educated and being wise. We can get a great education and not know how to apply what we've learned. Proverbs 8:11 expresses the value of wisdom. For wisdom is better than... what's that next word? What are rubies? Precious stones. What are they worth? Anybody own any rubies? A lot of money. Okay? But it says wisdom is better than a lot of money or rubies. And all the things that may be desired are not to be compared to it. Compared to what? So what is the greatest thing you can attain in this life? Wisdom. All right. So we're getting down to the facts of the matter. The greatest thing you can attain here on this earth, in this life, is wisdom. Biblical wisdom is knowing how to live wisely in a foolish world. Having discovered the meaning of wisdom, now let's look at the benefits of wisdom. There are at least five benefits of wisdom. Number one, wisdom protects against deception. Risa got a check in the mail last week. Okay? How much was the check for?
It was like $1,800.
Okay? We had no idea who sent it. Okay? Would you take that check to the bank and cash it? No, you would not. Why? Well, because that's a scam that's currently going around for them to get your information. I'm not sure what else you'd get when you went to the bank with that check, but I certainly wasn't going to take that check to the bank and attempt to cash it. And she and her sister decided, since they both received the same one, there must be something fallacious about it. Okay? Every generation has more than a share of con artists who try to take advantage of people. But it's a real challenge when somebody sends you a check for $1,800, regardless who they are, not to do what with it? Not to go and try to cash it. Commercial after commercial on TV, endless emails, and mass mailings invite us to take advantage of the latest money-making schemes, real estate investments, internet businesses, and precious metals and coins, and etc. You know who gets rich off this? People that make the commercials, okay? The people that are sending them out. However, what does Proverbs 2:12 tell us about wisdom? Proverbs 2:12 says, delivering you from the way of evil, from men of, what's that next word? Perverted speech. That doesn't just mean bad speech. It means it's absolutely crooked. They're not telling you the truth. Wisdom produces a healthy life. Secondly, some of the most profitable businesses in our country are health related, such as diet programs and exercise programs. How many of you have seen a TV in the last 24 hours? How many of you saw at least somebody trying to sell you a health-related something or a diet? Okay, They're almost always on there. Almost all the early morning television is paid programming for the latest diet program or exercise machine. And they walk this woman out there that could barely get onto the stage. And they say after she took this supplement for 6 months, and then she walks out in her bikini and she stands there and she has a real slender body now, right? You believe that? Well, it may happen to one woman. How many women is going to happen to? How many men? Hope they don't come out in a bikini. Proverbs 3:16. Long life is in her hand. Who are we talking about? Wisdom. Long life is in her hand. A lot of the guys down at Fort Bragg and also Fort Benning, Georgia, didn't think I was very wise because I would jump out of a perfectly good airplane. Okay. Now, I did have a chute on. Matter of fact, I had one chute on and one around my stomach as well. Okay. Now, whether you think that's smart or whether you think it isn't smart, after I watched lots and lots and lots and lots of guys do it, and after I spent 3 weeks training for it, I didn't have any problem doing it. People say, well, how many night jumps did you have? I said, they were all night jumps. I closed my eyes. I went out the door. Long life is in her right hand, and her left hand are riches and honor. How can wisdom do this? For one thing, living wisely removes a lot of stress from our lives because we won't make as many bad decisions about finances, relationships, and jobs. Chuck and I, in our conversation this past week, told me that if you make it past 50, what'd you say, Chuck?
55, 65. Make it through that decade.
If you make it from 55 to 65, you're more than likely going to live to 80 if you're a man. Okay? If you make it through that part. But you know what's the problem with that part? Well, that's when your children are in college, okay, and that's a part of it as well. And that's when you're transitioning from your job-related life into possibility of retirement. But most men die at that age. So, living wisely removes a lot of, what's that next word? Is that not the biggest killer in the world? Yeah. We won't do unwise things like sawing a limb off a tree while sitting on the wrong side of the limb. If we are wise, we will have healthy habits regarding diet, exercise, and lifestyle. Also, wisdom promotes financial success. One of the most foolish things in our world is how many people unwisely handle their personal finances. The average household that's in debt in America owes how much money? Nearly $16,000. Very good. You listened last week, okay? All right. As wealthy people often say, making money is easy. Keeping it's the hard part. Proverbs 7:16 expresses this fact. Why should a fool have money in his hand to buy wisdom when he has no sense? Now, what in the world does that mean? No amount of money can keep a foolish person from acting the fool. Okay? It's often said that a fool and his money are soon separated. In other words, a fool will just waste his money. An insurance agent told me that when someone with a large life insurance policy dies, he tries to get the survivors to take the settlements in yearly installments over a 10 or 20 year period. He said the reason for his advice is most people don't know how to handle money. So no matter how large the settlement, they are broke in 3 to 5 years. Facts. Facts. The book of Proverbs is filled with advice on handling money wisely. Fourthly, wisdom paves the way to peace. Foolish people are always stressed out because they continually make bad decisions. Proverbs 3:17, her ways are ways of pleasantness and all her paths are peace. One of the things we're going to talk about next week, as I said, is your mouth. Okay, what is the best advice for your mouth? To put your brain in gear before you put your mouth in action. Well, it's the same thing with spending. Put your brain, oh, I want that. Well, are you sure you want it? What's it going to cost you to get it? You know, how long are you going to, what are you going to keep it for? You know, what's it going to cost you? What's the first payment? When's it due? When's the next payment due? Why people are also peacemakers who try to bring peace to every situation. Foolish people are constantly creating division and conflict, while wise people are always peaceable. James 3:17, but the wisdom from above. Whoops. Now we'll find out where the wisdom comes from. Wisdom from above is first pure, then peaceable, gentle, open to reason, full of mercy and good fruits, impartial and sincere. Have you ever got into a conversation with a person and you were trying to teach them something and you couldn't teach them anything because their minds were already made up? Okay. Aren't we all like that many times? Okay. Don't confuse me with the facts. My mind is made up. This morning I'm telling you that wisdom is peaceable and it comes from above. Wisdom provides happiness. This really sums up what wisdom is all about. No matter what you have, if you don't hear anything else this morning, I want you to get this slide down for good. No matter what you have or what you accomplish, without wisdom, no thing or person can make you happy. We always joked about the girls that came to Bible college. They said they came for an MRS degree. Did you get that? They were looking for a what? Husband. And of course, you know, you didn't want to go to the bar because that'd be the guy that'd drink and liable to cheat on you. But if you go to the Bible college, you might find a good one there, okay? Here the Bible is telling us that without wisdom, no thing or no person is going to make you happy. Too many times people go into a relationship thinking, well, she makes me happy or he makes me happy. No, if you're not happy, no thing or no person is going to make you happy. Nothing you buy, nothing you steal, nothing you get is going to make you happy. Things don't make people happy. People don't make people happy. To enjoy all the good things we have in life, we must remember the truth down in Proverbs 3:13. Blessed, or happy, okay, is the one who finds wisdom and the one who gets understanding. By the way, who said that? Well, Solomon wrote it down. Where do you think Solomon got it from? He got it from God. God says, if you want to be happy, that's the person who finds wisdom and the one who gets understanding. Wisdom produces blessedness or happiness because it reminds us from whom all our blessings come. The word translated happy, Esher, refers to the happiness that comes from knowing God has bestowed His favor or blessing on us. What did we sing last week? Count your many blunders. Right? That doesn't make you happy, does it? Huh? Count your many what? Blessings. Where do our blessings come from? They come from above. The Bible says all good things come from above. Every good gift and every perfect gift is from above, coming down from the Father of lights, with whom there is no variation or shadow due to change. Does God ever change His mind and become an Indian giver? No. He never does. He always points out more and more and more blessings. But as you've heard me say before, if you are a child of God and the blessings of God are not falling in your path like they ought to be, you might have to check your path. Okay? You may not be in the right path. Okay? Because God is not going to shower His blessings upon disobedient children. But then when we get in the path where God wants us to walk, guess what He does? Pour them over and over and over again. The airplanes just keep coming over and dropping them all down in your path. Fame or fortune can't really make us happy unless we understand the result of God's favor in our lives. You know what? Especially young people are always concerned about what other people think about them. Okay? And you think about this. All young people, they look at their peer groups and they're so concerned about what their peer groups think of them that, man, they try to measure up and they try to wear the right things and they try to say the right things and do the right things. But you know, when they get as old as I am, you know what they find out about those other people? They don't care about you at all. Okay? They don't care. All they care about is who? You, themselves. They think about old number one. The acquisition of wisdom. We must do three things to gain wisdom. Number one, acquire reverence for God. Proverbs 9:10. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, and the knowledge of the Holy One is insight. You can remember, many of you, I imagine, can remember, especially if you're very old at all, you can remember when your dad spoke to you, what did you do? When your father spoke, you did what? You listened. Okay? You listened. Okay? And if a policeman pulled up behind you, okay, and turned on his red lights, you didn't push down on the gas and take off, right? Well, not most of the time, right? There were some occasions in my life I did awesome, okay? But I knew the road better than he did, and I knew where to get away from it, okay? Okay? Growing up in the state of West Virginia, the roads all go like this, and there's a little bridge here. And if you don't hit that bridge just absolutely right, one of the boards is going to come up and tear out your transmission as you go over, okay? And so the policemen didn't chase us up and down the street we grew up on called Bills Creek because they knew it was pointless, okay? But now I know that when I see those red lights come on, unfortunately I haven't seen them in a long time, I don't take off, okay? You might outrun his Chevrolet, but you're not going to outrun his two-way, okay? What do you do? Why do people have so much disrespect for people, for things? Why do we live in a throwaway generation? Okay? Why do they have so much disrespect for police officers, for people in general? Because they have no fear of the Lord. Where does the fear of the Lord begin? This little guy here, he's got to learn to be afraid of his daddy, and I mean in a positive way. Okay? I mean, his daddy is bigger than he is, okay? And when he says to him, you know, when he looks down at him and he starts to speak to him, what do you expect him to do? Go crawling off and not pay attention? No. You go and you catch him, you say, hey, listen, little guy, I'm talking to you, okay? Why? Because if you don't teach them how to listen to their fathers when they're little, guess who they're not going to listen to when they get older? They're not going to listen to their Heavenly Father. They're not going to listen to the policeman. They're not going to listen to anyone. They're not going to listen to their teachers in school. Okay? Ron is always coming home talking about some pretty little guy in school who, you know, he can't sit still and he doesn't listen to anybody. But guess what? Guess what he does at home? Guess who the boss in his household is?
He is.
Exactly. Okay? The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, and the knowledge of the Holy One is insight or understanding. How many of us want our children to have those things? We all do. How many would like to live in a society where everybody had the fear of the Lord and the wisdom and then the knowledge of the Holy One? Wouldn't that be wonderful? That's what's called what?
Heaven.
Exactly. The Hebrew word translated fear means reverence. The word reverence means an attitude of deep respect. When we respect people, we value their advice and we take them seriously. The beginning of wisdom is taking God and His Word, the Bible, and His commands seriously. Okay? That's the first step toward wisdom, is we revere or we acknowledge God. Second, we ask God. The only real source of true wisdom is where? I get a kick out of reading all these people that talk about how long the earth has existed and you know all these things that have happened all over the millions and millions of years in the past. And I go, well, how do you know? Were you there? But yet I've got a book, okay, written and compiled by the one who does know, who created it all, who tells me about when these things took place, right? Now, to whom am I going to believe? This idiot who thinks things have gone on and on and on because he looks at some fossil differently from another guy and tells me the age of it, okay? Or am I going to listen to the Word of God? I promise you, I'm going to listen to the Word of God. The Bible tells us, for the Lord gives wisdom, and from His mouth come knowledge and understanding. The problem isn't that the Lord doesn't want to give us wisdom. The problem is that we don't, what? Ask. Why? Because we're a self-sufficient people, right? I know what I ought to do. I know how I ought. Well, how's the acquisition of wisdom explained in James 1:5? If any of you lacks wisdom, what's it say? Let him, see this word right here? This word right here? We're going to talk about that some more in a minute. That's the Greek word aitheia. Okay? If any of you ask God, who gives generously to all without reproach, it will be given to him. How many of you have ever found a situation you didn't have wisdom for? All the time, right? What are you supposed to do? Ask God. Does God give you the wisdom for that situation? Yes. Does that give you wisdom for the next situation? Only if you ask. Only if you ask. The word aitheo has the idea of repetitiveness. The saying it and asking it over and over and over and over again. If your child wants a cookie and it comes and you say no, what are they going to be back in 10 minutes doing? Ask it for another cookie or ask it for again. The verb translated ask is in the present tense, which means continuous action. This is not a one-time request through which we gain wisdom for a lifetime. Rather, it means we ask God for wisdom before every decision. If we consistently ask God for wisdom, we'll avoid many mistakes, much pain, and a lot of grief. I mean, have you ever done anything in your own wisdom and you wait and get back to it and you go, boy, I should have asked God about this before I've done it. Right? Yeah, we all have. Okay? We all have. Apply God's Word. The last point. Wisdom isn't just reading the truths in the book of Proverbs. It is remembering and putting them into practice. Okay? If you see that there's a manhole that's missing, and they've got a big orange tape up around it, and it says, danger, do not cross it. What do? You step across the line and try to walk across the manhole, right? So what was the purpose of all of it being there? To grant you wisdom, okay? To grant you wisdom, not to go within that particular confine. The Bible tells us wisdom isn't just reading the truths in the book of Proverbs. What do you have to do? You have to remember and put them into practice. The discerning sets his face toward wisdom, but the eyes of a fool are on the ends of the earth. Very easy, right? Is it? The fool looks to the earth for the answers he so desperately needs instead of looking to God and his word. Notice what it said about the discerning? The discerning sets his face toward wisdom, but the eyes of a fool are on the ends of the earth. Where does the discerning look for wisdom? Looks to God. The fool looks to the earth for the answers he so desperately needs instead of looking to God and his word. Intelligent people keep their eyes fixed on wisdom, but the eyes of a fool are in the ends of the earth. So they never find wisdom. To keep our eyes fixed on wisdom, we must remain focused on the Word of God, which contains the wisdom of God. This requires a personal relationship with God, the Son, personal Bible study, and faithfully attending worship service and group Bible studies if they're available. Notice this. 1 Corinthians 1:30, it says, and because of Him, you are in Christ Jesus, who became to us wisdom from God, righteousness and sanctification and redemption. What is it saying? The epitome of the wisdom of God is found where? In the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. And what do we receive as we are placed by Him in Christ Jesus? We receive wisdom from God. And what do we receive? We receive righteousness and sanctification and redemption. Look where? Because your redemption draweth nigh. Look up, the Bible says. Okay? Look up. What about wisdom? Which way do you look? Do you look across the face of the earth? Do you get on the internet and search out all the answers there? Well, I'm telling you, all you got to do is plug in one little word and you'll get back thousands upon thousands of hits of people who can tell you what you need to know about that particular thing, right? Okay? But do they know what they're talking about? Sometimes they do. Many times they don't. Ephesians 1:17, that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give you the spirit of wisdom and of a revelation in the knowledge of Him. You could not know anything about anything else in the world, and yet you know Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. You have more wisdom than the many people with the PhDs who do not know the Lord. Conclusion. Becoming wise requires we understand the meaning of wisdom, the benefits of wisdom, and finally, the acquisition of wisdom. Where does wisdom come from? It comes from God. How do you get it? You ask for it, and He gives it to you all at once, right? That's one of the things I've heard preachers talk about what we're going to do when we get to heaven. I'll tell you what I'd like to do. I'd like to sit down at the feet of the Apostle Paul or Peter or any one of them or even the Lord Jesus and have them to explain the difficult passages in the Bible. Okay, I want to sit before God and have Him to tell me how He created all the things that are in the earth. Okay, I mean, every morning I get creation moments and I look at these little things and it shows me a new creature or a new bug or a new flower. And it talks about all the things that are different about it from the biblical standpoint. And I go, wow. You know, how much does God know? Huh? How much does God know? He knows everything. How long do you think it'll take for you to know everything? It'll take eternity. Okay? It'll take eternity. Let's stand this morning as we close in a word of song. Speak to my heart. I hope this is your prayer this morning. Speak to my heart, Lord Jesus. Speak that my soul may hear. Speak to my heart, Lord Jesus. Calm every doubt and fear.